Blog Talk Radio.
Against flesh and blood.
And now, Voices of the True Israelites with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Live Yahuwah Radio. Worldwide international radio broadcast is now on the air. Yahuwah's Radio, Yahuwah's Ministry. I be your host by name, your seer, Israel of Seed Royal. We're doing a series called The Fire and Destruction of Christianity, The Great Beast of Roman Catholic Church, part number 49. And we're just going to stroll down the international side and see what's going on the international side. And we'll get right to the broadcast. No doubt about it. All right, let's throw on the international side and see exactly how many international countries have logged in to this broadcast. And all the slots is filled. And that's 195 international countries. So they're ready to go. And what's flashing out of New York on the international side? 1-0-3-2-8-4. 1-0-3-2-8-4. Enough said on that, but we'll get ready to Mr. Tibbs and get him to bring you in whatever Yahuwah got for you to know for take number 49. So when you meet your brother, with a loud voice you say, Brother Mr. Tibbs, Yahuwah be with you there, Seed Royal.
And Yahuwah bless you, Brother Israel of Seed Royal. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Mr. Tibb got a fine audience in. All the spots is filled, 195 international countries. 103-284 is flashing. So what you got to tell this national audience that Yahuwah put on you, you're on the clock, Mr. Tibb. Take your time and go pod. Come on.
Once again, Yahuwah bless you, Brother Israel, and thank you for inviting me into tonight's broadcast. Of a glorious number of 103,698, well, let me correct that, 103,284, which have came to hear the things that most of us can hear, and some listening never understand, and that's without proper teaching. To see those things that most of us can see, and some looking can never find. For the uninformed can do none of these things. This is why the words of Yahuwah makes all this and more possible for the righteous. And we also have to be aware. We have to be very aware. By knowing the scriptures, there are those out there that camouflage evil teachings for righteous learning. And this is something that we have to experience all the time. We run into it. So we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Well, let me repeat that. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 12 to 15. We got a little disturbance on our end, so sometimes we get distracted, but we're going to stay on point. Verse 12, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off from occasion from them, which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. 13. For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Yahuwah the Son. 14. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. 15. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Well, here we are the doers of Yahuwah's word, and we teach his righteous teachings, because there are a lot of us that come for the good of Yahuwah's word. We receive it, commend it, and add unto it. And as I've said before, we have some that cast the same word we listen to behind their back. which is not so good for others learning the word of Yahweh. These are what the Bible states as raving wolves and sheep clothing that come just to see who's attending, what we're talking about, who's on their side in deceptive thinking. Spreading rumors of non-Yahweh things, and I know many have seen just as much as I. These are the people, the ones that have to realize we're here for one reason and one reason only, not who sits to your left or your right. To spread rumors, to teach the word of Yahweh without proper teaching is not good. None of us need rumors. We end up meeting those that do that. It's the blind who lead the blind, leading you away from the Bible precepts, the Sabbath days, and their own double-minded speeches, such as in the book of James that we look at to describe that, the book of James, chapter 4, verse number 8. 8 says, draw nigh to Yahweh, he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye transgressors, and purify your minds, ye double-minded. So it brings us to look at other teachings. We look in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 9, verse 13 and 14. Verse 13 says, thou comest down also upon Mount Sinai, and speakest with them from heaven, and gavest them righteous judgments, and true laws, and good statutes and commandments. 14, and madest known unto them thy righteous Sabbath, the commandments, thy precepts, statutes, laws, by thy hand of Moses, thy servant. So knowing these things, and hopefully that you're taking note, we welcome and thank all of you for attending another live broadcast of Yahweh's ministry that's open unto your lives, as always, with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. First and foremost, about Yahweh's word. Connect in the books, as we usually do. Your health and foods that you should eat and keep in the Sabbath days. And we do this because you have not, and you came to seek and found that which you have sought in Yahweh's ministry that's open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. in the days Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. No class on Tuesday, but we do have a Sabbath class. The top part of Sabbath is Friday, currently starting at 7:15 to 10:15. The bottom part is Saturday. Temple class starts at 12 p.m., and the online class starts at 2 to 5 p.m., once again until the temple members desire to leave. Now, we also have a website address that you can use. To use this, open up any search engine on any one of your smart devices. Right on the search line in at www.tribeyhdh.com. After you click enter, right under the big line, you're going to see some choices. One is going to be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. On any one of the other devices you're on, you may see menu. But by clicking this, again, you'll see choices. Still choose tithes and offerings and follow the same instructions as you would for previous use. Doing so, remember what it tells all of us in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse 8. Verse 7 says, give unto the Yahweh, O you kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahweh glory and strength. 8. Give unto the Yahweh the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. I always remind everyone that when doing this, to remember that Yahweh loves a cheerful giver. And also, donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated that you give what's in your mind to keep this ministry bringing you Thus Says Yahweh Live. Also, to build a school, a banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program, Hallelujah Yahweh. Also, while there, don't forget to check the calendar. Keep yourself, family, and friend in tune with the feast days that come to us throughout the year. For the live program, this is a feature that's only available during the live broadcast time. To get there, open up any search engine on any one of your devices. Right on the search line, this time type three words, Yahweh Radio Live. After you click enter, look for True Name Teachers. Click the red live button as soon as this appears, and you'll be right into our live online broadcast. We also have a couple of email addresses which your listening members can use. The first, which is tribe, that's tribeyhdh@gmail.com. This is to write your written opinions, questions of a biblical subject answered, or related topics. The other is yhdhysrael@gmail.com. Also for biblical subjects, related topics, and you can even state how our program was enjoyed by you. Another note, please do not call any previous numbers that you may have for this year during broadcast time as not to disturb the words of Yahweh. We have a few verses from the Bible to explain why for the numbers that have those numbers. In the book of Sirach, chapter 11, verse 8, it says, "Answer not before thou have heard the cause, neither interrupt men in the midst of their talk." In the book of James, chapter 1, verse 26 says, "If any man or woman among you seem to be religious and bridle not his or her tongue, but deceives his or her own mind, this man or woman's religion is vain." But you can still imagine, even after making a statement or giving the scriptures for understanding, there are still those who do the opposite of what the scriptures say. They will call during the program announcement or cause some sort of disruption when the words of Yahweh are being spoken unto you. I suppose they may just ignore or may not be familiar with Yahweh the Son, as said in the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verse 29 says, "Yahweh the Son answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of Yahweh." And another note, by no means contact the seer again. We're reminding everybody, direct by email, text, or voicemail. As you can imagine, he's usually pretty busy answering many memos that most of us have seen from previous shows, maybe even today. Even having thoughts of running just a memo show, responding to the WCC, the New York Station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man, and mostly important, preparing Yahweh's lesson before our program starts. Remember, even with all the work the seer does, he's only one man, limited by the creation of Yahweh to only 100% of what one man can do. So please place all your calls to the international line. You will receive a call back if it's legit, because many of our questions can be answered by one of our anointed camps. Thank you for your consideration. Yahweh be with you all. Now, the numbers you can righteously call with Yahweh in mind, the first is our live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This is our international number. You can call and leave a message on scriptures that you have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the six anointed camps of Yahweh's ministry. But again, not the seer. He's often tried this to exceed Yahweh's creation of 100% and found that this is impossible, as quoted in the book of Matthew, chapter 19, verse 26. Now, for those of you who have missed the beginning of our program, you can always catch the entire show at 9:15 p.m., except for Fridays. This program will be repeated at 9:45 or later due to start time. To get there, open up any search engine on any one of your devices. Once again, type in the three words, Yahweh Radio Live. After clicking it, look for True Name Teachers. Choose the program that you were late logging into or any previous day that you would like to listen. We're also in the process of making it possible to get a CD or DVD recording or any program by request. Just call the international line to order any particular day or number of days. So we know that listening to the scriptures or understanding them make you wise. The more you understand Yahweh's word, the wiser you get. Remember what it tells us, in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 9. 9 says, give instruction to a wise man, and he or she will yet get wiser. Teach just the man, and he will increase in learning. So this is what we're going to attempt to do. Ask you to keep those Bibles open, where you can increase your learning in the word of Yahweh. We'll pass our program back to our seer Israel and say, hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh, that Mr. Till, that action again on your part. We are waiting to hear the second part of your close on some Thus Says Yahweh. And remember one thing, see, Raya, we come humble 6 nights a week to enlighten a people, and we try and soundly to do what's written, not only talk it, live it. One thing about it, see, Ray, you got to get your help together, because this job right here it's gonna at least take having your help together. So you can be able to sit down and help folks out and lead by example. Let's stay on that. Remember tomorrow, no broadcast on the network. Be back on Wednesday with some old BOTTY. And I'd like to say that Mr. Tibbs just dropped down about a double-minded person in 1 verse 8. It's unstable in all thy ways. See, what I mean by you double-minded, see, right? You can be double-minded because we don't know where you're staying at. We know we got to watch and see what you're going to do. We can't pencil you in for anything because, first of all, you got to be in Yahweh's will. You teach with the fringes on? No. Then you're not in Yahweh's will. Simple as that. If you got the fringes on, you're not teaching in Yahweh's will. The blessings is in the fringes, see, right here. So if you sit there, you're teaching, you don't have fringes on when you teach, then you're not in the will of Yahweh. It's simple as that. So we're telling you everything that you need to know. And we'll show you where we're coming from according to the Bible. See, when we tell you something, you can bet we're going to be able to read it. We'll give you a case in point in a minute. When we tell you something, you bet you can be able to read it. Because plainly, he said, what's holding you up is those that hear the word, they can't do it the way they want to do it. The one that's going to teach the word, the 6 anointed camps, you must have fringes on. Because you're slowing down the process on your end. Because there's somebody in your neighborhood, they want to hear the word, but they got no sign. No sign. The sign is the fringes. All of a sudden, you have somebody turn down that street, go down that street, and say, I don't know why I'm down that street. And you be just getting out your car, your truck, or whatever, and they'll stop your fringes. They'll say, hey, Mr. Smith, put your fringes on. I've been looking for somebody to show me something. See, now they spotted you. Fringes. So women, one thing, you hold up the process by not having the fringes on. That's all we're telling you. And we'll show you finally in this book that when anointed ones bring these messages, it's because Yahweh is saying, I ain't making no move on them until I recognize them. And I recognize no fringes on teaching this word. According to the Bible, it's an anointed camp. What's going on? Oh, when you meet your brother with a loud voice, brother Yahweh Israel. What's going on, brother Yahweh Israel? Yahweh bless you there, brother Yahweh Israel. See Royal.
Yahweh bless you, see Israel. I see Royal. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Brother Yahweh Israel, every time we say we can bag it up, all we got a scripture to bag up what we think. We don't be saying nothing that a scripture cannot back up what we're saying. And that's why we throw on the table Luke chapter 12, verse 12. Brother Yahweh Israel, what that say?
The book of Luke chapter 12, Verse number 12 reads, "For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say."
Excellent. In that very same hour, the righteous spirit will teach you what you ought to say. And I believe that, Brother Yahdai Israel. Let's go to 1000 B.C. and see what Yahuwah the Son says in 69 verse 4. What did Yahuwah the Son say to David by the ministering spirit in the 69th chapter from a book? What do you say in Psalm 69 verse 4?
The book of Psalms, chapter 69, verse number 4 reads, book of Psalm 69, verse number 4. "They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. They that would destroy me, being my enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away."
It's regardless, but I restored that what I did not take away. He says, I restored. That's why I know you got time on that telephone. That it do the same thing the same time every time. Now, I restored back to them that I've taken not away. Now, you're the man saying, see, right? But how are we going to get understanding on that? How are we going to get understanding on what he's saying? I restored back to them which I took not away. What did Yahuwah is restoring back to you that he taking not away? Let's run back to Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 12-14. Let's see what he restoring back to you. Nehemiah is before the birth of David. Let's see what Nehemiah says in the 9th chapter, verse 12 through 14. Listen good. 600 counsel of a true Israelite. He says, I restored back to him after I did not. What is he saying? Let's see what he said over here in Nehemiah 9. 12 through 14. What do you say, Brother Yahdai Israel?
The book of Nehemiah, chapter 9, verse number 12 to 14 reads, book of Nehemiah 9, verse number 12. "For thou leadest them in the day by a cloudy pillar, and at the night by a pillar of fire, to give them light in the way wherein they should go." Verse 13. "Thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai, and spake with them from heaven, and gave them right judgments, true Torah instructions, good statutes, and Torah instructions." Verse 14. "And made it known unto them your righteous Sabbath, commandest them precepts, statutes, Torah instructions, by the hand of Moses, your servant."
That's big talk, Brother Yahdai Israel. Are you saying that he came down from heaven? And I got to hear that again because that was pretty powerful there, Brother Yahdai Israel. So the key to it is he restoring back to you what he's taking out away. Now, hear that again, Brother Yahdai Israel, because I think you own something right out the gate. On take number 49. Bring him again there, Brother Yahdai Israel. Come
on. The book of Nehemiah, chapter 9, verse number 12 to 14 reads, book of Nehemiah 9, verse number 12. "Moreover, thou leadest them in the day by a cloudy pillar, and in the night by a pillar of fire, to give them light in the way wherein they should go." Verse 13. Thou camest down also upon my Sinai, and spake it with them from heaven, gave them right judgment, true Torah instructions, good statutes and Torah instructions. Verse 14. And made it known unto them your righteous Sabbath, and commanded them precepts, statutes, Torah instructions, by the hand of Moses, your servant.
A big talk there, Brother Yahdai Israel. Who came down in a pillar cloud? Who did that? Who? Who did that? But Nehemiah said, the only way you can get the answer, he command you to precept. So who came down in on a pillar cloud and done all this stuff? Let's run to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and let's find out who came down by precepting your Bible. Remember, the Bible is a continuation of writing. It ain't no such thing, no New Testament, Old Testament. Every day is another shot from to death. Continuation of writing to 96 AD. And when he put his pen down in 96 AD, his story was told. So now we go on precept the Bible and see in writing who came down in a pillar cloud and told us that I command you to preach to get your information. Who did that? 1 Corinthians 10, 1, 2, 3, 4. Who did it, Brother Yahdai Israel? And throw in verse 11. Just a 1, 2, 3, 4.
The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, verse number 1 through 4, and verse number 11 reads, the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, verse number 1 through 4, and verse number 11. 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant, how that all our father was under the cloud, and all passed through the sea. Verse 2. And we're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Verse number 3. And did all eat the same spiritual meat. Verse 4. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Yahuwah the Son. Verse number 11. Now all these things happen unto them for an example. They are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come.
Now, I was bumping the gongs, and when it came up on some air, when you just... So now you see who gave you the righteous Sabbath, and said precept to get understanding. Now you know who said that. Now you know who said that. And also say a little bit more. It says something and some more precepts. Now, Paul is tied to kingdom in the book of the polluted called Hebrew. So we know he at the southern kingdom of Yahdai, and he got his mouth going real good. All the followers called disciples is watching him. And what he says pertains back to what we just got through reading on the left side of the book, 12:25. Listen to what he says in 12:25 of the book of Hebrew. Luke's writer called. What it says in 12:25.
The book of Hebrews, polluted word in Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 25 reads, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refuse them that speak on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven.
Now, who one was on earth that spoke from heaven, and he was on earth. So you see what they said over there in Nehemiah. The one that Nehemiah is talking about is the one that spoke on earth. It's the same one that spoke from heaven. Now you see that, see, right? So you see, this Bible is so interesting. If you got the right spirit, the book is starting to open up for you. All you got to do, turn, shift. So now, in John chapter 1, it talks about this guy. In St. John chapter 1. See, when you know you got the anointed, that means the oil has been poured on you. And what's been poured on you is skill and understanding. You have the knowledge to precept your Bible. And you are able to hold thousands, hundred thousand people locked to this broadcast radio. But they only hear us now. But guess what? Sooner or later, y'all going to put the doors in there, and they're going to understand one thing. Can't keep on reacting. You got to proact. You got to proact, see, right? I got to pull a rabbit out of him. Whatever I got there. Hold it to me, that brother. Y'all got it. I need to pull a rabbit out of that behind now. In the book of Jeremiah, I got to pull a rabbit out of that behind now. The book of Jeremiah, we just said, in the book of Jeremiah, you know, I don't know, but I'm looking for something in Jeremiah there, probably actually, and we talked about a thing, we can bag it up. In the book, Jeremiah. It makes a profound statement there, brother Israel. Can you help me out with the statement that he makes? He makes a profound statement. He said something. He said, he makes a profound statement. And I want to pull out a statement there, brother Yagdai. And what do we say that we pull on? He made a statement. And let's see, can we pick it up around verse number 7. Let's see what he said in 32, number 7.
The book of Jeremiah, chapter 32, verse number 7 reads, Behold, Hananiah, the son of Shalom, thine uncle shall come unto thee, saying, Buy you my field that is in Anathoth, for the right of redemption is thine to buy it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, back up who working with him, but I'm looking for a statement. I need a little bit more out of it. It's a statement I'm looking for, brother. I'm looking for something he says that it is something. Who doing this good talking in verse 6? Who telling Jeremiah this good talking right here? Verse 6.
Verse number 6. And Jeremiah said, The word of Yahweh came unto me, saying.
Oh, so Jeremiah is talking from the word of Yahweh. Now, what I'm looking for is a statement when he says, you know, help me out there, brother Yahweh Israel. I want you to look down there and peep at it real good. Where he says that this is before you. He says, I want to hear that verse read. The land is before you. Can you help me out on that verse there, brother Yahweh Israel? The land is before you. What I want. The land is before you. That's the statement I want to hear, brother Yahweh Israel. I think I can give me a little something going on. If I can hear that was told to Jeremiah, that the land is before you. Can you put my balls on it for this Yahweh Israel?
I ain't got my eyes on that, see. No, my eyes ain't on it.
My eyes ain't on it. But I'm looking for a statement understanding where it says the land is before you. And that's a big statement. I remember saying that a little while ago. We read out this book, The Land is Before You. So it's the same thing he's saying now, see, right? The land is before you. You sit, you drag your feet. The land is before you. Land on every side is before you. Remember, land, bank, and a radio station. Land is before you. Make a provision to put everything before you. But one thing about it, the land before you, you must be, you got to stop being, what they call it, react. You got to proact. Land, school, banquet hall, radio station. We got to get our hands on that. And when Yahweh talking, and I'm going to tell you something. I'm going back to Jeremiah. We'll find that verse later. Somebody's going to give me that verse where it said the land before you. Somebody going to tell me, WCC, you ain't got, you can hold up your statement right now. So, land before you, see, Royals. Now, we want to find out if Milton Spirit told Jeremiah that. Now, we want to back up and take a look at Jeremiah. The land is praise. Now we're going to Jeremiah. What were you holding? What were you holding again?
We ain't holding nothing, sir.
Okay. Well, what is Jeremiah chapter 1? What it say in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4? Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 1. I'm going somewhere, Brother Yahshua Israel. Have a little patience with me there, Brother Yahshua Israel, because I'm working on something. I don't know. 1 verse 5, and skip down to verse 9 and 10. Let's see what he says there. Then look him up real good in verse 12. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, 9, 10, and 12. Brother Yahdai Israel, let's see what's going on here. Because we own something. We don't know what we own. But when we stand back off on it, you're going to see what we are with Jeremiah, that the land is before you. Now, that verse got to come up. Maybe not in this lesson, but it'll come up in the lesson to come. The land is before you. Come on, Brother Yahdai Israel.
The book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse number 5, verse number 9 and 10, and verse number 12 reads, book of Jeremiah 1, verse number 5, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before I came and forth out of the womb, I sanctified you and ordained you a seer unto the nations. Verse number 9, then Yahweh put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And Yahweh said unto me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Verse 10. See, I have this day set you over the nations, over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Verse 12. Then said Yahweh unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it.
That big talk of that seed raised. So now listen. Jeremiah was a seed raised from the womb to tell you what was said. And now we want to go to Second Chronicles. Because he made a profound statement. He made a profound statement, but we want to run this down. Because when we hear this man talking, we got to be clear when this man is talking. We have to pay attention when this man's talking. In 2 Chronicles 36, when this here talking, you have to pay attention. And 2 Chronicles 36, what do it tell us in verse 12?
The The book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 36, verse number 12 reads, he did that which was evil in the sight of Yahuwah is Yahuwah, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the seer, speaking from the mouth of Yahuwah.
Did you hear that? And I put my words in your mouth, Jeremiah. Now, we just precept that to 2 Chronicles 36. So when Jeremiah is speaking, he's speaking from the mouth of YHWH. Hey, how many letters is that, Brother Yahdai Israel?
Four letters. YHWH.
Now, listen what says in Ezekiel 38:1-17. Listen good what it says, and I got to make a note of this. In Ezekiel 38:1-17, what it say? Listen good.
Book of Ezekiel, chapter 38, verse number 1, and verse number 17 reads, Ezekiel 38, verse number 1. The word of Yahuwah came unto me, saying, verse 17, thus saith Yahuwah, are ye of whom I have spoken in old time, by my servants, the seers of Israel.
Do you hear that? Here's the man saying, he said, when I spoke in old times, that's going all the way back to Adam. That's going all the way back to when Adam, all the way up to the seers, he said, when I had something to say, understand one thing. You got a lot of people that love to say how the Almighty met them on Wednesday afternoon while they was in a seat. You got to go in the Bible and see, do the Bible support that? Now, according to Yahuwah, he done told you how he done spoke in old times. But all of these days, I'm waiting on him to tell me something. But see, when you go in the Bible, it don't work like that. And that's why we try to tell you, it's time now to pay attention to what the Bible says, not what your feelings say. Make sure your feeling, because you take your feeling and you pass your feeling on to somebody, they'll go on your feeling. But you got to go on the Bible, the written records. And that's what we're going to bring up, the written records, showing you what happened in Portugal and Spain, how it led up to where you at right now. And we're going to cut out everything that's been told you about the slave trade that it started in Portugal and Spain by the edict of Pope the Fifth, and exactly left you Portuguese Spaniards, five of Yahdah, that had cut a deal that it still backfired on you because you forgot what I said. Judges chapter 2, 1, 2, and 3. You forgot. See, we call this network to bring back the table that you got to stop forgetting and knowing how to get back to these scriptures to see where you stand. See, when Yahya in the 10th century still Bonzo first king of Israel, to help take down his brother that whipped the Moors and was Moors, and he was rewarded 2 acres of a lot of land. And he had a ballot. You go on your computer, you find out that it was a land called Negro Land, the Valley of the Negroes. But them Negroes was the king seed, Yahdah Judah. But see, Yahdah Judah made a move for took what was written in Judges chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and 3. Listen to what is written in Judges chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and 3. Hey, Brother Yahda Israel.
The book of Judges, chapter 1, verse number 1, 2, and verse 3 reads. Book of Judges, chapter 1.
Verse 2, make it chapter 2 there, Brother Yahda Israel. Make it 2, 1, 2, and 3. How about this?
The book of Judges, chapter 2, verse number 1, 2, and verse number 3. Book of Judges 2, verse number 1. And the minister spirit of Yahweh came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt, and I brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with thee. Verse number 2. You shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land, shall throw down their altars. But you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Verse number 3. Well, for I also said, I will drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your side, and their false Yahuwahs shall be a snare unto you.
He said, I will not drive them out. He said, going to drive them out. See, where I was going to do something for you, I'm not going to do it. You know what the man just said? He said, what I was going to do something for you, now I'm not going to do it. You remember when we read the opening verse over there in Psalm 69, verse 4? He said, I will restore back to the Israelites, starting with Yahdah Judah, which I take not away from you. I did not take this away from you, see, right? Ain't nobody taking none away from you. What taken away from you, you forgot what was written in Deuteronomy 28, 47 through 50. These 17 nations tell you, you don't need the right side of the book. It's done away with. But it tell you in Psalms 11, verse 3, if you don't have your foundation, what can you do? See, in Deuteronomy 28, 47 through 50, it's in the heavenly tablet. They say in Deuteronomy 28, 47 through 50, there, Brother Yahya Israel, what does it say?
Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verse 47 through 50 reads. Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28. Verse number 47. Because our servant at Yahuwah with joyfulness and with gladness of mind for the abundance of all things. Verse 48. Therefore shalt thou serve your enemies, which Yahuwah shall send against you, in hunger and in thirst, in nakedness and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon your neck until he have destroyed you. Verse 49. Yahuwah shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies, a nation whose tongue you shall not understand. Verse 50, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of old, nor show favor to the young.
You see that, see, right? And the first thing you do, you say, that happened to you, when you left the west coast of Africa, although that is, but that's not the first time that happened to you. See, this is listen to me, Captain Six and on the count. This is why we have to come and take our time and get the Six and on the counts on their feet. Because we have no history about when Yahdah Judah, the temple destroyed the first temple. And when the first temple was destroyed, the kings of the other nation asked, the king, Nebuchadnezzar, I'm helping you record his history. Say, I like some royal families of Yahdah Judah as my slaves, because I know if I got my hand on them, that one thing about it, blessings is with me. That's, Jacob said to his old piece of father-in-law. He said, before I came, you was all right, but you got blessed when my hand got here. See, the world understands you is the blessing, but why should they tell you the blessing? But here's the point we make. They had a family called Baruch. They had a family called Baruch that this is what we call on record. We got plenty of record information. But a family called Baruch is trained and learned his family that, and they passed on the history of themselves coming over to Lear. And L-U-E-N-A. And they celebrate family there. They said they came over there with Nebuchadnezzar captivity of 586. So they was like, they came to Portugal and Spain in 586 B.C. But that don't mean that's the first Israelite devil day in 586. Do you understand what's written that the prophecy about you in Genesis 24, verse 60? Do you know they got a prophecy about you in the 24th chapter of Genesis, verse 60? And what do you say there, Brother Yagdai Israel, of Genesis?
The book of Genesis, chapter 24, verse number 60 reads, book of Genesis 24, verse number 60. And they blessed Rebekah and saying unto her, you are our sister, be you the mother of thousands of millions, and let your seed possess the gates of those which hate them.
So at no time you is that's brainwashing of you being a minority. You, it was prophesied that out of Rebekah and Isaac that had Jacob, whose name was changed of Israel, it'll be a thousand or million descent come out of them. Thousands of millions, see, right? Then in Deuteronomy chapter 1, about 500 years later, Moses minority long as that book is closed. You're not a minority at no time. Look what he said in the first book of Deuteronomy 500 years later. This is what he said. Give me two lines of Deuteronomy 1 to see who he's talking about. Deuteronomy chapter 1, look what he says in two lines. Let's see if he's talking to the whole world that Moses is talking. Give me two lines. As a matter of fact, they give me the last line in verse 3 and tell me what's going on. Give me the last line in verse 3. What does it say there, Brother Yagdai Israel?
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1, verse number 1. These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel.
Well. Third line, last word, well.
In the wilderness.
He spoke these words to the children of Israel in the wilderness, see, right? Now, before you read verse 11, we're going to precept that to the seventh chapter. We're going to precept the Bible, see, right? See, this is how you just bust the back of the game sale. We're going to precept that at verse 23. It says in verse 23.
The book of Acts, chapter 7, verse number 23.
Yes, sir. Make it Acts 7, 23.
The book of Acts, chapter 7, verse 23 reads, when he was full 40 years old, came into his mind to visit his brothers, sisters, the nation, family of Israel.
Excellent. Now skip down to verse 7. Now watch what they do on the right side of the book. Right before your eyes, when Moses was 40 years old, he went to visit his brothers, children of Israel. We read Deuteronomy chapter 1, 2 lines. These are the words that were spake to all Israel in the wilderness. Now we have a precept Bible to Acts chapter 7. And we found out that Moses went to speak to his brothers, the children of Israel. Watch what the writer do right before your eyes, and we're going to restore back to you what we taken not away. Look what it says in 37 and 38. Now remember, Moses, his brothers, is the children of Israel. Listen what's going on here in Acts chapter 7, 37 and 38. What's going on there, Brother Yagdai Israel?
The book of Acts, chapter 7, verse number 37 and verse 38 reads, Book of Acts 7, verse 37. This is that Moses was saying unto the family of Israel, A seer shall Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall you hear. Verse 38, this is he that was in the church in the wilderness.
Now you see what it is? Right before your eyes, then you will take that piece of teaching and you will regurgitate that on to everybody that come in contact with you. So you see, when you're reading the Bible, it wasn't no church in the wilderness. It was, in the 17th chapter, the word church is polluted for the 17th chapter of the book of Exodus. When is somebody going to bust somebody in the middle of the street? The man is asking a question in the book of Psalms, 96:14. Listen to what the man is saying. Did you hear what the man is saying out of mouth in 94:16-14? What he says in 94:14?
The book of Psalm 94, verse number 14 reads, Psalm chapter 94, verse number 14. Book of Psalm 94, verse 14. For Yahweh will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance.
Verse 16.
Verse number 16, who will rise up for me against the evildoer, who will stand up for me against the worker of iniquity.
The man said he's not going to cast you off, but he said you got to stand up, see, Royals. You got to know how to go in this Bible, had a right spirit, got your fringes on, y'all going to sit there and put a 334 on you. You won't be bumming all around and slowing up the process. You'll put a St. John 334 and you put some fringes on with this Bible in your hand. What is it saying 334, St. John?
The book of St. John 3, verse number 34 reads, For you whom Yahuwah hath sent, speak of the words of Yahuwah. For Yahuwah giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him.
Okay, well, what did Yahuwah say then, Brother Yahuwah Israel? What did he say in the 15th chapter, verse 38? You said, those that Yahuwah are sent speak the words of Yahuwah. Then we won't know what did Yahuwah say. Go to Numbers 15, 38, let's see what he said.
The book of Numbers, chapter 15, verse number 38 reads, Book of Numbers, chapter 15, verse number 38. Speak unto the family of Israel, and bid them that they make their fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue.
Hear the man saying? Verse 12. Hear what the man is saying? Do you hear what the man is saying? This man is telling you, bid him, put some fringes on the children of Israel. That is an order from Yahweh. If you know you are children of Israel, you know you are Bible total, put them fringes on you. Because Yahweh bid you to do that. I bet you if your dress was on fire and you look down and say, hey, ma'am, your dress on fire, you be trying to get that fire off your dress, even if you take it off, right? Right? That what kind of urgency you supposed to have with them fringes. The same way that heat will hit your dress and then you take that dress and, whoo, I'm burning, burning. You will stop everything you're doing and try to get that dress off and get that fire, right? You hear the man trying to tell you to? The man telling you, make your put your fringes on like you on fire. And you know how you're going to move on fire, right? Look what it says in 22 verse 12.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 22, verse number 12 reads, thou shalt make you fringes upon the four quarters of your garment, vesture, wherewith thou cover thyself.
And the fringes over cover you, not be no miniskirt to you. But you got to sit around and put a quilt over your knees. You wear your fringes down past your ankle to cover yourself. Huh? That was the man said you do. But listen. And how the man tell you to do. And what we holding there? So we went soundly show you. Now let's come on back to this Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 11. Because I cringe when I hear someone say, whatever he is, every place as the majority unto to the those that is the minority came and are hijacking in the brain. He'll tell a whole gaggle of people, y'all know y'all the minorities. And you look in everywhere you see yourself. And you let a race of people that already ordained for the great slaughter of thus says Yahweh keep hijacking you up with his ways of saving the devil. And we come to show you soundly, you got to put that man down in your brain and pick up what's written in his Bible for the release of your peoples. You got to do the Bible. Now look what he said 500 years ago to the children of Israel. And look what Moses said in verse 11. Then he threw a little shot at him in verse number 12. What he says in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 11 and verse 12.
The book of Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 11 and verse number 12 reads. Book of Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse number 11. Yahweh of your fathers, make you a thousand times so many more as you are and bless you as he has promised you. Verse 12. How can I myself alone bear your cumbrance and your burden and your strife?
Wait a minute. He make you more thousand times. He makes you more thousand times so many more. A thousand times to so many more. What is he talking about? What he make you a thousand times more and so many more? 24:6 of Genesis. What do he make you a thousand more than what's written? You the man just said, a thousand, 500 years later, you haven't fulfilled that. Look what's written in Genesis 24:60 again.
The book of Genesis 24. Verse number 60 reads, and they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, you are our sister, be you the mother of thousands of millions.
And a million. How can a thousand million even talk about a minority? And then Moses came back and said, you're more than that in my days. Tell them what we're saying, verse 11. And Yahweh of our fathers made up 1,000 times so many, then what? The millions by 12. For as you are, and he done what? And he blessed you. And he made a promise, and he promised you. What did he promise? He promised you. What did he promise you? That's the precept, see, right here. The key word is he promised you something. Let's run to Romans chapter 9 and see what he promised you. See, remember, if he promised you something, that was for you to go see what did he promise you. He promised you something, and how you going to find out what he promised you? Run over to Romans 9 and see. Pick up verse 1, down to verse 5. We go and find what did he promise you that we can read? Romans chapter 9, verse 1, read what he promised you. Romans chapter 9, 1, for the Yahdai Israel. What's the promise all about? Come on.
The book of Romans chapter 9, verse number 1 through 5 reads. Book of Romans chapter 9, verse number 1. I say the truth in Yahweh the Son, I lie not. My conscience also bear me witness in the righteous spirit. Verse 2. That I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my mind. Verse 3. For I could wish myself were accursed from Yahweh the Son, from my brothers and sisters, my kinmen, according to the flesh. Verse number 4. Who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption, the greatness, the covenants, the giving of the Torah instructions, the service of Yahweh, and the promises. Verse 5. Who are the fathers, and of whom as concerning the flesh, Yahweh the Son came, who is over all, Yahweh blessed forever. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Look at that, see right here. The promise is, he promised and gave you everything that he had to offer to one people. One people, the children of Israel. Everything he gave, and guess we're doing all the talking, not the one people, everybody else is talking. He gave, and Paul remind them that he gave everything to you. And you refuse to do what this man saying. And he gave everything to you according to verse 4. Read verse 4 again one more time to make sure he gave everything to you. He didn't give the other 17 nations nothing. Listen what Paul's saying. They love to quote Paul. But how many of the 17 nations ever quoted what's written in Romans chapter 9, verse 4? How many of you know? What ministry has quoted 9, verse 4 and put it down? Come on, Brother Yahdai Israel.
The book of Romans 9, verse number 4. Who are Israelites? To obtain the adoption, the honor, and the covenants, the giving of the Torah instruction, and the service of Yahweh, and the promises.
That means ain't nobody supposed to be talking but the children of Israel when it comes down to the Bible. See, right? You know what the man is saying? If he gave you everything, what is this you sharing? He come from heaven. He picked one people. And when he looked down from heaven, he seen every nation of this. Becoming what I'm going to take on when I get here. Go to Michael. Listen to what the man's saying. He's telling the seer. Now, you tell a little piece of seer down there, and I'm coming in the body. Now I got every nation it is, all eight, to spread it out. Now watch Yahweh make a choice about what nation he going to come down through in Michael 5:1-3.
In the book of Micah, chapter 5, verse number 1, 2, and verse number 3 reads, Micah chapter 5, verse number 1, now gather yourself together, now gather yourself, now gather yourself in truth, O daughter of the truth. You have laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheeks. Verse number 2, but thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Yahdah Judah, yet out of you shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Verse number 3, therefore will he give them up until the time that she which prevaileth have brought forth. Then the remnant of his brothers shall return unto the family of Israel.
Now, why is that going to happen? Because this is what he says. This is what he says in the 66th chapter of Isaiah. Now, he made a statement in the 66th. Now, he's going to give you up. They're going to go and give you up, right? But he said something before he went back to heaven in 14:12 of St. John. He dropped the tidbit down. He did it. You go on read the but he dropped the tidbit down. He said, I'm going to get him up, Michael. Tell him I'm going to get him up. But he left us something in 14 verse 12 of St. John. And what did he leave?
The book of St. John 14, verse number 12. Truly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father.
Now, he just told you what he was going to do. So all this you waiting on him to do something for you, he said, no. I'm going to sit. Matter of fact, he said it in 5:15. He said it in 5:15 of the book of Hosea. What are you going to do? Told you in 5:15 what he going to do. He done told you. And what did he say he going to do in 5:15? He told us see again what he was going to do. It's telling you what he going to do. So you sitting there doing all that praying like magic, and he telling you what he going to do. What a man telling you he going to do in 5:15 of Nehemiah or Hosea. What he say he going to do? That's what Isaiah pulled that verse in 18 verse 4. Isaiah pulled that verse. Let's see what he says. No, well, Hosea pulled 18 verse 4. Let's go to 18 verse 4. Isaiah first, because Hosea to see a pull that from Isaiah. What was said in Isaiah 18 verse 4? Then we go to 5 verse 50. It's connected. Here, see the story has been told, see, right? But you just coming around worrying about COVID 19, 20, 21, 22. You will always be hemmed up. And the man done told the story exactly how it's going to happen. But what it says, Isaiah 18, verse 4, what it say?
The book of Isaiah 18, verse number 4 reads, so Yahweh said unto me, I will take my rest. I will consider them my dwelling place like a clear heat upon her. And like a cloud of dew in the heat of harvest.
I'm going to go and I'm just going to watch you through the members of spirit. I'm just going to go and watch y'all. He's Isaiah, you tell him, I'm going to go and just watch him. I'm going to run back and drag me over to me. And me and the old man going to sit there and watch you through the eyes of the members of spirit. Hosea 5:15, listen to that.
The book of Hosea 5. Verse number 15 reads, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early.
You hear the man said? The man said he's going back to his place. He said, I'm just going to sit there and watch you. When you get tired and sick and tired of these lying preachers and all these camps that's lying to you, you're going to understand one thing. Your only way back is through the anointed six camps of voices of the true Israelites. Because we're going to restore back to you what we did not take away. We're going to show you all the missing information that has been hid from you. We're going to show you about what happened in Portugal, how you got there, in Spain, how you got there, how you was called, how you were transported over to Guinea, how you was told in 1492 by Isabel and what's the name of that piece of king name?
Ferdinand.
They got together and said, listen here. We is running things now. It's 1492. Either you become a good Roman Catholic Christian from Satan the devil, or get out of here. We're going to give you time. And they broke out running. Some broke out running to the west coast of Africa. They broke out running. But they broke out running upon being a Spaniard, Yahdah Judah, and a Portuguese, Yahdah Judah. And they broke out running to their brothers over there. But their mindset was totally different. And that's what the divide and conquer have always been. But they also told the Moors at the same time, out of Seville, you get out of here too. The Moors broke out running too. The Moors was a mixture of Israelites, Yahdah Judah, Benjamin Levi, and a sprinkle of Arabs too. Because Moors only mean black. It's not a nationality. But then the king said, wait a minute. I just came at them all break out running. I got to do something to them. He said, go grab their babies, 3, 10 years old. I want them. And I want you to ship them to an island called St. Thomas, where I got my criminals at that wanted done me wrong, and let them raise them be good Christians, good Roman Catholic Christians, from 3 to 10. See, you got to know this history. So old fathers and mothers died to not become a Christian. Their baby was raised up a Christian. Then they gave your babies a name. They created a land called, and you go on the map and you get so proud about it when you see a sign saying Negro land. This is the kingdom of Judah. Don't you know that kingdom of Judah was for your slaves that they can identify the one they put the mark on? They carved that land out and they gave you that name. Your slave owners gave the name of the kingdom of Judah that came out of Portugal and Spain. Drop you over in there so they can keep an eye on you and taught you Roman Catholic Christianity. Huh? And then you were despised by the ones that are running because they didn't put a name on you. So add two names. You had two names on you, Phil, are you? 3 years old up to 10, and they raised you and gave you a name. Huh? They gave you a name. They gave you two names, Steve Royal. Huh? And one is called Ricardo. He said, Ricardo's from Portugal and Spain. They gave you a name called Ricardo. You from the tribe of Yahdah Judah. He was called Licato. Him the one that they raised up to hate them. One he raised up and put a tie on them. Him the one they raised up and put a purple hair in their head and put what's that color? Blonde hair in their head. Him the one they raised up and showed that your hair is not right. You need some blonde in your hair. And now you got them standing around with the blonde, purple hair, purple clothing, purple hair, and you don't know the history, manipulated by taking your babies and shipping your babies to a special island called the Negro Land, the Kingdom of Judah. And you thought they did that like you was on something. No, you weren't on nothing. Your slave masters gave you that name. And you had two names. I'm just not going to try to pronounce the second name. I'll let you pronounce it yourself. You look it up. One was Lancados, L-A-N-C-A-D-O-S. That was one of your names. They also call you B-E-R-E-A-D-O. If I pronounce the name and I get it right, I get more calls on I done it right, but not when I told you about what these two names is. I get a call on how I butchered up the king's, I care less about the king's language. I'm trying to get a message to you, Steve Reyes. These two names was given to the Negroes that came out of Portugal and Spain. From 3 years old to 10, they was raised to be Roman Catholic Christians. That to be their right hand. But we're going to tell you what happened after the king took over Emmanuel in 1495. He pulled the record back after a marriage. He pulled the record back because he was tied into a marriage. So he pulled the record back and changed all the rules of these people that they raised up to be slaves. And these are the people that was over there in Emina. You know, these, you watch a piece of movie called A Road of No Return, or they got it off. What they call that thing? The No Return, Door of No Return. You don't know who they had a No Return. And we're going to give you the records and how to find the records on exactly who that was in the Door of No Return. That was told to every king that was in West Africa. If you don't get them Lancados and round them up, then we're going to deliver you up. And that's why they tell you about Africans selling Africa. Because they ran Guinea. They ran the whole thing. Portugal ran it. Pope told Portugal that everything in West Africa is given to you. Now, how can he give something to you that he don't even have? What did the Portugal king have? How did he come and tell him that you own everything in West Africa? So you and your brothers fight in Portugal and Spain, I'm going to sell it. Everything going to Alfonso I. The Pope gave him that. How can he give him land that only belongs to him? By duping him and he's replacement of the Mighty One, and he's in the seat as he talked today. Do you know what's written in Luke? Do you know what's written in Matthew chapter 4? The only one can talk like that, that can give something that don't belong to them, so that we can read. Let's go to Matthew and see who we can read that can just give you something that's not there. You think it ain't a price to pay? We go on to Matthew chapter 4 and see who can just give you something that's not there. And then, but he'll tell you stipulation behind it. About giving you something that's not yours. We're going to Matthew chapter 4. Let's see who got the power to give you something that's not yours. Pick it up at Matthew 4 verse 8. Let's see what he says in 4 verse 8.
The book of Matthew
8 and 9. I want Matthew chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. Listen to this again. Listen to this. Who can just give you something? You know that piece of Pope just gave the king the whole west coast of Africa? Now, who got that kind of power that can give you something like that? Let's find out where it comes from. 4, 8 and 9 of Matthew.
The book of Matthew chapter 4, verse 8. Verse number 9 reads, Book of Matthew 4, verse number 8. And the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and the greatness of them. Verse number 9. And said unto him, all these things will I give you, if you will fall down and worship me.
The devil gave the king Alfonso the First all the kingdom of the west coast of Napa. The devil told, put that in that man's head, Nicholas V. The devil got in his head. And Alfonso went for it. Because they had a dispute. It's Portugal and Spain. They were fighting among themselves. And the Pope said, I sell it. He said, I'm going to give everything to Alfonso the First. I'm going to give everything to him. All the land belongs to him, and after him, everything belongs. That's the reason the marriage came from Spain, see, right? Because the Pope had said everything goes to Alfonso the First. He run it. So that's why Portugal is more powerful than Spain, because Portugal, it was set up by the Pope. Why your piece of teachers ain't never told you that? That's what happened. Then after he put him in his place, then he gonna tell them, then he gonna tell them plainly, I got a job for you to do. And after y'all settle that part right there, and you know all that land belongs to you, but up under my rules, and I got a job for you to do. You see, first of all, make sure they know in Spain that you run things. King Alfonso the First, why don't you look it up and find out why you got a degree on the wall and you know nothing about Pope Nicholas V, how he gave a land, whole west coast of Africa, to this man right here, and how he gonna get something that don't belong to him. You see? Now go to Luke chapter 4. So you see, this is the history you got to have right here. And when we come show you where you stop kicking on everything and take notes and get busy. Just tell you something. The ones that are known to tell you something, stop all that moaning and groaning and get busy before the time too late. Now we go down to Luke 4. And we'll pick it up at verse 5. Take it down to 5 through 7. And now Luke will give account the same thing. Let's see what happened in Luke. Chapter
4, 5
through
7. The book of Luke, chapter 4, verse number 5 through 7 reads, Book of Luke 4, verse number 5. And the devil taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Verse 6. And the devil said unto him, all this power I will give you, and the greatness of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. Verse 7, if you therefore will worship me, all shall be yours.
So you see, now you see what the 17 nations did headed by the Pope with his purple colors on? He worshiped Satan. And he got the power to give you land that was not even his, because he had the backing of Satan the devil. And all he got to have eyes and minds to believe what he's saying. And his mind is coming from Satan the devil. So that's how it happened. So now, we're going to uncover the secret thing about the trade. We're going to give you step by step how this thing happened. How you came. What happened to the, if you want to take a shot at his name, that brother y'all got here, you can take a shot at it. D-E-G-R-E-D-O-S. It got the same ending to it, but if I butcher the word up, you know, I get more calls on the answer machine on about I butcher the word up. D-E-G-R-E-D-A-B-O-S. That's all they can remember. Well, see, you butchered up the word. So what? What that word say, Brother Yagdai?
I give it a shot. The great bus. The greater bus. Best I can do.
Yeah. Now watch when you look this word up. D-E-G-R-E-D-A-D-O-S. It's the same word that was called two names. See, they gave the same people two names. It's like one was more of a, the ones with D-E-G-R-E-D-A-D. D was the one that was running their affair. It was their right hand. D was the one that was running like all the trades and stuff like that. When they traded back and forth, they raised D's up from the west coast of Africa over there and took them three hours to 20-some years old. They had them in a big land called Negro Land. And you got some little talk about, we had our own land. Man, you ain't had no own. You had the whole land, but you didn't really have your own land, not by going to some map in the 1700s. Man, this happened in the 1400s when the children of Israel were taken to that land. Because remember one thing. Before 1555, the word Negro was only for one people, and that was the one that was in Portugal and Spain. When you go through your research in your dictionary, 1555, that's when the one that was in Africa was called Negro. You go in your old dictionaries and see, in 1555, that's when they start calling the coast of Africa Negroes, because they was over there from Portugal and Spain. But the Negro were from the tribe, were from the king seed, Yahdah Judah, that was ran out. And then they taking the kids and raising the children from three years old to 10 and turn them into their right-hand man, and they done the bidding, just like the one you see right now would say, the senator say, it ain't no racism in America. See, that's one of the ones that been raised up to say some stuff like that. And then you got the big dignitary over there saying she bites. No, it ain't no racism not in America. See what happened? And they raised these up in the bottle. But when you get these N-C-D-O-S, and the one that was the entrepreneurs, D-E-G-R-E-D-A-D-O-S, these the ones they personally raised them up from 3 till they got to be, well, these the ones that you see that walk around that were, they were, I don't look right on top of some blonde in my head. These the ones, but this is the ones that right here that have been in by the Roman Catholic Church big time. Now, when Emmanuel the First started finding out that the Fort Diego was talking, hey, put that guy in place. He doing all that talking over there. Go get him business. That's the same thing. That the Licatos was cutting their own little deals, and they had a lunch a little bit and they got a little tainted, and they found out getting their cut right. They put a hit out on them. They put a hit out on them, see, right? Because they said, didn't we feed y'all? Didn't we feed them? And them the one we raised up? Are they talking like that? Then they rewrote the history. The king, Emmanuel, reread and said, if any one of them that can be extinct, they can't sell, they can't buy no more. Now, where you get that from? That was a bottle to call on. What that word called? What they put on them over there in Cuba? They put a bottle. Is I'm saying the right word, Brother Yahdai Israel? Well, you can't buy or sell.
Embargo.
Embargo. Thank you, Brother Yagdaya. That same thing they did for the Lakato. Y'all is finished. You can't buy or sell. If anybody buy or purchase from you, he said now, and he sent some big dignitaries to go round them up. And so you got so much history we got to get to see, right? To show you one thing. You don't know where you from. You could be from Portugal and Spain. You could be the one that was raised up over there and become good Christians, Roman Catholic Christians. What's the sign of that? Is you wearing that, you ain't wearing no fringes, you wearing a bow tie or a towel with a three-piece vest on and some blonde hair and a bald head. That's the sign. That's the sign, Zero. Right? You catch him with a bald head and a three-piece suit on and studding, huh? And keeping Sunday, Lord God and Jesus. We know where you coming from, according to this Bible. Well, let me get back and give me a couple more hits in there, Brother Yahdai Israel. So you see, time go fast because, let me tell you something, Zero. Right? We have so much information to bring to you. But you got to do right. And what you got to do, you got to know what to believe in. See, you've been Duke's down so bad, and you got to know who was the successor after King Emmanuel, how John III took it over in 1521. There's a lot of information you got to know. And you got to know about the, well, I keep telling you about these 20-page articles, because, you know, I'm telling you something, they trembling like everything all over the world. Because we're telling you, they got the Article 324, the fifth book of the where they were King Emmanuel wrote the fatal blow on the Lakatos and what he said. And guess what? It's too late. People's now going to the computer and pulling up them 20-page articles and reading what King Emmanuel said in 1495. How they went all out to get you, the Lakatos. And if anybody over in West Africa hold you up, and that's the ones that was in that door of no return called the door of no return, there was a Pacific peoples. The king seed, the tribe of Yagdai Judah, was over there in Amino. Them the ones that was rounded up and sold and pushed out. For disobeying the king's rules and turned on the king by trying to make you a couple of dollars and forgot to stretch when you don't itch. And that's because he told you don't make no league with them. Because when you make a league with them, when you is extinct, they're going to deliver you up too. And if you don't think so, you ask the one that in politics. We happen to the brother. Now you ask him now how he feel now. He said, I don't feel too good. But see, if he has some history, call himself a Rhodes Scholar. You a Rhodes Scholar, but you was miseducated being a Rhodes Scholar. Now you become a scholar by listening to the Six Anointed Council Brothers of the Two Israelites. That's when you become a scholar. We're going to bring up all the information. We're going to bring you up documents showing you. Article 340, Article 324, Article 325, Article 326. What's on them papers? Bosses over to his right knows on these papers. We look at these papers, but we're going to wait till somebody else bring them out. We're looking at exactly what you did when and before the Transatlantic Atlanta slave trade started and who was the one that was shipped out. And by what order was done it? It came from the Lakatos by Emmanuel. He the one wrote that fatal blow to get rid of you, Lakatos. The one he home fed, raised by his cousin and his uncle. His cousin and his uncle. Them was the one that was in power before he was. His cousin and his uncle. We're going to bring all that out, see you right here. So listen, we got a lot of information to bring to you, but some things you got to do. You got to do some research. And we're looking for brothers and sisters that know how to research and bring out the information and then share it with your congregation. But you can stop being duped, just like you on this COVID-19, 20, 21, and 22. You can be duped again. Break the rules of Yahweh. He tell you one thing, you got Esau tell you another. You're getting duped again. See? So now let's go back and give me what's written over there in Romans chapter 10 there, Brother Yahweh. I need to look at verse 1. Romans 10 verse 1. What did 10 verse 1?
Book of Romans, chapter 10, verse number 1 reads, Book of Romans 10, verse number 1. Brothers, sisters, my mind, desire, and prayer to Yahweh for Israel is that they might be saved.
See, his desire for Israel to be saved. But we'll precept that into 2 Ezra, chapter. But on the way you're going to be saved, his desire for you to be saved, that's what he's telling Israel, northern kingdom. But this is what he says in the chapter verse 7 about his desire for you to be saved. But you know his desire is one thing, but the Bible tell you another thing in 9 verse 7. Second Ezra.
The book of Second Ezra, chapter 9. Verse number 7 reads, 2 Ezra 9, verse 7, and everyone that shall be saved shall be able to escape by their works, by the covenant whereby you have believed.
Listen, if you do not do the covenant of Yahweh, then you ain't got nothing coming. Because you're going to only be saved by your works. The only way you're going to be saved is by your works. If you don't have works coming in, you will not get the paycheck. And that's eternal life. So if you're not breaking down and getting into the sixth anointed camp, meaning you're showing signs of your works. Remember the unit came to the Sabbath classes 1,500 miles, and even you know airplane, 1,500 miles to get to the Sabbath class. Yahweh the Son came from Galilee with the 70 miles to get to the Sabbath class. And you think you can sit on that internet and read your Bible, and you think that's going well with Yahweh? Then you're not following what Yahweh said in the fourth chapter. Yahweh said a statement in the fourth chapter to the chief speaker of the nation of Israel. He said something to him, and do you think if he told him that, it don't apply to you? He said something to him there, Brother Yahweh Israel. He said something to the chief speaker of the nation of Israel. And let's see what he told him. And he told him, what he told him, the first thing he told him in 417 something, then 19. What he tell the chief speaker of the nation of Israel in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Let's get down to verse 17. Matthew 4, verse 17, 19, and 20. Let's see what he said there, Brother Yahweh Israel.
The book of Matthew, chapter 4, verse 17, verse number 19 and 20 read. Book of Matthew, chapter 4, verse number 17. From that time, Yahweh the Son began to teach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Verse number 19. He said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Verse 20. And they straightway left their nets and followed him.
You see that? He said, follow me. Now, look at him in Matthew 4:16. Okay, follow him. Look at him in Matthew 4:16. He told Peter now, listen, put down what you're doing and follow me. Follow him where? Follow him where? So he said, follow me. 16.
Look at Matthew 4:16. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region of the shadows of death, light is sprung up.
Light has sprung up. Take that over to Luke now. You want some light to sprung up when you hear the word of Yahweh in Luke. Chapter 4:16. What did it say there, Brother Yahweh Israel?
The book of Luke 4:16 reads, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the temple on the Sabbath day and stood up to read.
His custom was, he turned the internet on the Sabbath day and broke out his book. No, see, right? This man came 70 miles walking to get to the temple on the Sabbath day. And he made a statement when he got in the temple in 5:14. Then he made a statement once he got into the temple. He said, he got temple looking. And he said something in Matthew's, on St. John chapter 5:14. What did he say?
The book of St. John 5. Verse 14 reads. The book of St. John 5, verse 14. Afterwards, Yahweh findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, you are made whole. Sin no more. He said, worst thing comes unto you.
So you see that scene right here? So Yahweh looked for him in the temple. Yahweh looked for you, six anointed camps, to be in the temple, the six anointed camps. Listen, see right here. Listen, you sinning when you're not keeping the Sabbath day. You are sinning. See right here? You see what the man trying to tell you? Look what Paul said in 18:4. All right. You know, tell you something. The ball up is you so busy hemmed up with COVID-19 20-25. Listen, see right here. You gonna have to do something to men, but tell you the men what you gotta do. What it say in 18:4.
The book of Acts 18:4. The reason in the temple every Sabbath persuaded Yahdai Judah and the 10 northern tribes.
So, we'll close out with this, Brother Yahdai Israel. So in Romans 13:11 to the closing of that verse, whatever, from 11 on down. We'll close out with this. Listen what the man's saying. No, I got a precept after Isaiah. I can't just let it get out. I need to get me Isaiah behind that one. I got to get Isaiah 29 behind that one. And what did he say, Brother Yahdai Israel?
The book of Romans 13:11-14 reads. Book of Romans 13:11. And then knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Verse 13, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, nor in chambering, wantonness, not in strife and envy. Verse 14, but put ye on Yahweh the Son, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof.
Isaiah 29:19, pick up the verse 18, the closing statement there, Brother Yahshua Israel. Isaiah 29:19, and kick up the verse 18, the closing statement. Catch your hands tonight. Nope, tomorrow. What did it say there, Brother Yahshua Israel?
The book of Isaiah 29:18.
Make it 19. Make it 19. Kick up to 18. Make it 19 and kick up one, Brother Yahshua Israel.
The book of Isaiah 29:19-18 reads. Book of Isaiah 29:19. The meek also shall increase their joy in Yahuwah. The poor among men shall rejoice in the righteous one of Israel. Verse 18. In that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness.
Well, you hear the man's name, man talking big. Man talking big talk here. He said, the meek gonna sooner or later understand one thing. You gotta hear the book. The meek, you got to come with big ears, a little mouth, among all the six anointed camps, be ready to hear something, not tell something, and you be meek. Be meek. Be nice. And learn something. So we've had to teach something that's been hid from you since you've been born, since your parents have been born. We're going to restore back to you what we took not away. We're going to restore how you became Negro, African American. Started in Portugal and Spain. It did not start it. Before you go in your dictionary and you find out. Before 1555, the only one was called Negroes was the Yaya Negroes that was in Portugal and Spain. Now after 1555, everything on the West Coast is called Negroes. We're gonna bring that here to you. Do some homework. Get some old books out and find out who was called Negro. Who was called Yaya, which is interchangeable word with Negro. The one that joined in with Alfonso the First. They have to kick you down. Because he showed him a carrot and some land and a couple of dollars and a village you can have. But the village he got was from his own brothers that the piece of king gave to him. He said, since you helped me take down your own brothers, I'm going to give you their land. I'm going to give you a big old spot. And now y'all going to be the one that come before me and whatever they need, I'm going to make you the first rabbi. You know what to do? I'm going to make you, the first rabbi. And your own thing, you rabbi, is to them old priests supposed to look like you. I have you where you can come in and speak to where I'm sitting and talk about the brothers over there in your village. He gave that Yahya Negro 2 pieces of land, and the land came from his brothers that he helped take down. And you know what? You go and pull up the Yahya Negro, and he was big Negro because he had access to the king. But he was same thing. It ain't no racism going on. He had that kind of spirit on him. See? That spirit got to stop. Brother Yahdai Israel, what's your closing statement is behind that? You on the clock, come on.
Hallelujah, qua, hallelujah, qua, hallelujah, qua. Love the way it's rolling out, Seer Israel, up, Seer Royal. Great work, King, to the four corners of the globe. Praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Excellent. That's why I say, you know, time is not in our favor, six anointed camps. We got to step our game up now because time is not in our favor. We got a message to get out. We got to pray these people from the brain. And tell them take that purple and that blonde hair off their head and put them fringes on. We got a lot of work to do. Can't be bumming around. You got to act like your dress and your pants is on fire. I bet you get them off you and get that. Jump off into the pool, jump off in the tub, right? Same way you both had them fringes on your mind. Find brother Mr. Tibbs and get his final thoughts. And thus says Yaquan, take number 49. See me find him and get his final thoughts. And some thus says Yaquan. That's what we'll do. We'll look for him and get his final thoughts. And look at WCC and said, Seer, do you think we're going to let him talk behind what you just got through doing? M-U-T-E-X on Mr. Tibbs. Well, it's your radio station, you do what you want to do. What can I say? So what we're saying here is one thing. You got to know your history, see, right here. And your history is, before the word Negro, it was applied to one people, Portugal and Spain. The dictionaries would tell you after 1555, the word Negro was applied as a broad, but that name was only applied to the Portugal and Spain, the one that was called Yayas, the one that helped the king, Alfonso, take down their own brothers. You see what the Yayas did? Yaya Negroes. He said they call them Negroes. They had a business called Negroes. But see, they thought the word Negro means that to you was some great thing. No, you was the one they identify as the one to help us take now your own brothers. And they gave them two pieces of land, two big villages. He said, look here, y'all done had these villages right here for taking down your own brothers. And you got an access to come to my throne and sit around and tell me what they're doing. I'm going to make you rabbi too. You see that? Yaya Negroes become the rabbis in Portugal and Spain. And they walked around with their chest out, being a turncoat. You see that, see, right? Huh? Enough said on that. But still, we catch you on Wednesday night because a big dignitary said M-U-T-E and an X on you. Well, what about the mothers? You can find about the mothers there. Let's see what we find about the mothers. Can the mother's microphone be ready to hear some mothers? Let's see if we hear some mothers out of Camp One. Let's see if we hear some of them. When you meet the mothers out of Camp One, with a loud voice you say, Mother E, Mother Z, Israel, tribe of Yahdah Judah, Mother E, Yahweh bless you, Israel.
Yahweh bless you, Israel. Steve Roy, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Mother E, Mother Z. Mother D.F. Israel, tribe of Yahdah Judah. Yahweh be with you there, Mother D.F. Israel, C. Roy.
Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel of C. Roy. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You know that, you know, when you're a frontliner, you know, I like frontliners. The ones that understand this thing got to be done. And this word got to go out. You see, we ain't got time for those that's out of pocket because it's making it plain how you got to deal with this thing. I'm back to Nehemiah, Mother of Israel. What it says in Nehemiah chapter 9, 12 through 14, and Mother E, have me Isaiah 28, verse 10. What do this Bible say we're supposed to do? This Bible. Nehemiah chapter 9, 12 through 14, Mother D of Israel. Mother E, have me Isaiah 28, verse 10, waiting on me. Let's go back to back real quick. Come on.
Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 12 to 14, verse 12. Moreover, thou leadest them in the day by a cloud pillar, and in the night by a pillar of fire, to give them light and the way, wherein they should go. 13. Thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai, and speakest with them from heaven, and gavest them right judgment and true Torah instruction, good statutes and Torah instruction, and commandest them. 14. And madest known unto them your righteous Sabbath, and commanded them precepts, statutes, and Torah instruction by the hand of Moses, your servant.
Wait a minute, Mother D.F. Israel. Wait a minute. Before Mother E. read what you get ready to read, you mean Yahweh gave a commandment of what in verse 14? You mean Yahweh gave a commandment. He gave a commandment of what in verse 14?
Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 14. And made it known unto them your righteous Sabbath, and commanded them precepts, statutes, and Torah instruction by the hand of Moses, your servant.
Before somebody tell you, Mother D.F. Israel, what you looking at verse 14, or look you eyeball to eyeball and say, you ain't got the precept of your Bible. What do you think by looking at verse 14, if somebody ever look at you and say, you don't have the precept of your Bible?
That's the spirit of Satan.
That's the spirit of Satan. Yahweh says it is honor to precept your Bible. He said ain't no way getting around it.
Mm-mm.
And then you let somebody look you out and say you ain't got to precept your Bible. Read verse 14 with a little more audio for this night. I want to hear what was said by Nehemiah, speaking what was told to Moses in verse 14. One more time.
Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 14. And made it known unto them your righteous Sabbath, and commanded them precepts, statutes, and Torah instruction by the hand of Moses, your servant.
Yahweh commanded the children of Israel to precept the Bible. Command, order. Precept your Bible. Mother E, what it says over there in the 28th chapter, verse 10, as a precept.
Isaiah chapter 28, verse 10. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little and there a little.
What do the word, you remember when the kids was much younger and you tell them they must do what you say? What are you saying when you tell your offspring they must? What are you saying, Mother E? The word M-U-S-T. What that word mean?
They must do what I tell them.
Or what? Suppose they don't do what you tell them. When you tell them you must do it. Back in the day.
They be in trouble.
They be in trouble. So you see why we in trouble today? Because when he tell you you must do it, and you will say you ain't got to do that. That's called a stubborn kid. So that stubborn kid got to get some got to tighten up, because you gotta beat the, when I say must, get out that bed and fix that bed and get ready to go to school, you must do that. Well, I'm just going to lay in the bed and I ain't going to must do nothing. Then you know you're supposed to run into him or her like a hurricane. We're going to see. You're supposed to put on your running shoes and run up to wherever he or she at. and tighten them up, because you said you must do this. Now, that word must don't mean what it means, but it means what it means then. On DF Israel, what it says in Jeremiah 17, verse 9.
In what, Jeremiah?
Yeah, 17 verse 9. What do 17 verse 9 say?
Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9. The mind is deceitful above all things and desperate wicked. Who can know it?
What? You say the mind is what?
The man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know
it? The mind is. And who can know it? So the mind would tell you something contrary to the Bible. That's what the mind will do. So the mind is what kind of way, according to Jeremiah 17, verse 9? According to the Bible, highest of mind. Well, I'm gonna give you a piece of my mind. But brother or sister, do you know your mind is kind of 17 verse 9 in it? We don't want to hear a piece of your mind. We want to hear a piece of some precepts of the Bible. 17 verse 9. What it say?
Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9. The man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?
So when you hear anybody stand before you to say, I'm going to tell you what my mind is telling me to say. And the person will come back to you and say 17:9. But your mind is wicked, brother, sister. Why we got to hear your mind? It says 17 verse 9. Your mind ain't the lick is to give me a verse in this Bible. That's how you straighten out the thing, go get a verse out this Bible. Because the mind is what again, that mother? What is the mind?
Definitely.
On DF Israel, what the mind is? Mind.
Wicked.
Say it again.
Desperately wicked.
Wicked.
Desperately wicked.
Let's go to James 1:8, mother. Hey, mother E, let's talk a little bit more about that. Let's find out some more about that. Now, James pulled that verse from Jeremiah. This is Yahweh the Son's brother. He pulled that verse in James 1, verse 8. And Mother D.F. Israel had me James 4, verse 8, waiting on me. Now, James read that verse out of Jeremiah, and he came right behind it and not taking away from 17, verse 9. He added on to 17, verse 9, and what did James say in 1 verse 8?
Look at James chapter 1 verse 8. A double mind is a unstable in all his ways.
Mother E, what you just say? What you just read, Mother E?
A double mind is unstable in all his ways.
Mm-hmm.
A double-minded woman is a mind that is unstable in all their ways. So the last thing I want to hear about a mind, because James Yahweh the Son says, a double-minded man or woman is stable in all their ways. Now look at that. But the last thing you want somebody standing before you and tell you what their mind getting ready to say, what the verses right in this Bible say, that book, I don't need to hear your mind. I need to hear what that book says, not your mind. So your mind is dumb, unstable, according to what we can read in 1 verse 8. Then we're going to James 4 verse. What did it say that Mother D of Israel 4 verse 8?
4, verse what?
8.
James 4, verse 8. What's the precept to that verse? What that verse saying, James 4, verse 8?
James chapter 4, verse 8. Draw nigh to Yahweh, and he will draw nigh to you. Clean your hands, you sinners, and purify your mind, you double-minded.
He said you got to clean yourself up. If you got that kind of double mind, you got to do what again, that mother? Do your business. You got to do what?
James chapter 4, verse 8, draw nigh to Yahweh, and he will draw nigh to you. Clean your hands, you sinners, and purify your mind, you double-minded.
Well, so how do we clean our mind? How do we clean our mind that we can read, Mother E? Let's see if we clean our mind according to what we can read. Now, we want to find out how to clean our mind and be no more double-minded. Whether we go and read how to clean your mind, let's run to Prophecy 119, verse 9, and see what the Middle Spirit told David to do. In 119, verse 9, Mother E,
let's
see what he was told David to do. And Mother D, if Israel have me, 15, verse 3, and St. John waiting on me. We're going to see how, verse 3 and 5. Let's see how you clean your mind up. Verse 9, come on.
Revelation? See it.
No, Psalm. Yeah, Psalm. 119 and Psalm. Yes, ma'am, 119.
Psalm 119, verse 9. Yes, ma'am.
What
did
that say?
Well, will a young man clean his way by taking heed thereto, according to the word?
Wait a minute. What did you got to read that, Mother E? How do a young man or young woman clean they what? By doing what?
Taking heed thereto according to the word.
So the only way you're going to clean your mind, you must take hold of the what? The word of Yahweh. The only way you can be cleaned up, double-minded, that now you can tell somebody what you think and what you feel. You only can be cleaned up through Yahweh's word. That's the only way you can clean up. To be validated, you must have a scripture on the table to be cleaned up. That's the only way you can be cleaned up. You must have the word. That word is the Bible. That's how you clean yourself and edify anybody that come in contact with you through the word. That's how you clean your. That's what the mental spirit said, you how you do it. That's how you clean yourself up. You must show the word. What you reading that, Mother D of Israel in 15, verse 3 and 5 of the book of St. John, backed up with Mother E in Ephesians 5, 20.
St. John, chapter 15, verse 3 and verse 5. Verse 3. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing.
Okay. So what he says, me, you can do nothing, and he gave us what we got to do in 15 verse 3. Mother, D up Israel, break that verse down. What is he saying in 15 verse 3? After you
now
read.
You are clean. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. That means.
So how do we get clean?
Yeah. Through his word, through the Bible, reading his word. Clean that mind,
okay.
That old man.
Okay. Excellent. Mother E, what it says in 5:26 of Ephesians. Now, Paul started with found Northern Kingdom. And what did he tell Northern Kingdom in 5:26? Let's see if he take away from what Yahweh the Son said. Let's see if he take it away. What did he say in 5:26 of Ephesians?
Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word.
But that falls to me, Mother E. How do we get clean again? According to 5:26 of Ephesians?
With the washing of water by the word.
Oh.
The word.
The word. The word. So,
wow.
On the Sabbath, anybody stand before you, you want to have a big belly full of what? You want them to give you a big belly full of the what? What?
The word.
The word.
Mm-hmm.
The word. Not my mind.
Yeah.
Not, not my mind, not your mind. Give me what the word is saying. Because I know Mother D of Israel and 40 verse 8 about this word according to Isaiah. And Peter picked up on it, Mother E, and 1 Peter 1:25. Peter pulled this verse you didn't ready to read by D of Israel in verse 8. What does it say in Isaiah 40 verse 8? Yeah, 1:25, verse 8.
Isaiah chapter 40.
Isaiah 40 by Mother D of Israel. Then we're going to hear some 1:25 by Mother E.
Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8.
40, verse 8. Yes, ma'am.
Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Yahweh shall stand forever.
So how long do the word stand, Mother D of Israel?
Forever.
So that's all I want to hear, word. All I want to know what verse to turn to. I want to hear the word.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know the word can do it for how long?
Forever.
1:25, Mother E. What does it say? And Mother D of Israel, have me Romans chapter 10, verse 2, waiting on me. Have me Romans chapter 10, verse 2, waiting on me.
1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25. But the word of the Yahweh can do it forever. And this is the word which by the covenant is taught unto you.
So how long do the word endure, Mother E?
Forever.
And what did Peter pull that verse from, Mother E? What did Peter pull that from? Isaiah 40, verse 8. He didn't take away from 40 verse. That's where he pulled it from. See, and your preachers tell you in Christianity, done away with. Well, then why don't you tell Peter that? Because that's where he pulled it from, 40 verse 8. He said the same thing with 40 verse 8 on the left side of the book, and he let the same thing know. When it comes down to God's word, it's endured forever. See? See, they don't taught us that the left side of the book is done away with. But according to Peter, why'd he go quote the left side of the book? Romans 10, verse 2. Be of Israel, in Romans verse.
Romans chapter 10, verse 2. For I bear them recorded record that they have a zeal of Yahweh, but not according to knowledge.
He says, I bear them record. They got a zeal for Yahweh, but not according to what?
Knowledge.
Who is he talking about in verse 1? Who is he talking about got a zeal for some Yahweh, but not according to knowledge, mother D up Israel? Who he saying that to got a zeal for some Yahweh? Who he telling that to in 10 verse 1?
Romans chapter 10 verse 1. Brethren, my mind desire and prayer to Yahweh for Israel is that they might be saved. It's in Oregon, sorry.
So who is saying zeal for Yahweh? What Israel are he talking about that got a zeal for Yahweh? And in verse 1, you probably knocked it out the park on what Israel he's talking about. He got a zeal for some Yahweh, but not according to knowledge. So what Israel are you talking about in 10 verse 1?
The 10 northern tribes.
And then that's why you folks brought it on in. So Paul is talking to the Romans that is scattered in Rome upon the battle of Romans. He ain't talking to white man and white woman. And that's why when you jump down to Rome, he's not talking to white man and white woman. He's talking to the northern kingdom that are scattered in Rome. That's who he's talking to. And how we know that? How we know that? Hold that point there with you on that, Mother E. Let's find out how we know that. Let's see how we know what we're saying. Hold what you got there, Mother E. Hold what you got there. Back up to Romans. Hey, Mother E, hold what you got. Put that to the side for a minute. Back up to Romans chapter 1 and give me 5 through 7, 14 through 16. Let's see, can we back up what we're saying? How do we know that he was talking to northern kingdom that was scattered in Rome? How do we know that? Matter of fact, even before you read that, Israel. Let's run to the 18th chapter of Acts. See, one thing about it, when you got the spirit of Yahweh on you, you're going to take care of Yahweh's business. And he'll open his book to you like the book got one page to it. Look what it says over in 18 verse number 2. Acts 18 verse 2. Mother, D up Israel. What it says in 18 verse 2.
Acts chapter 18 verse 2. And found a certain Jew, Yahdah Judah, named Aquila, born in Pontus, later come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Yahdah Judah to depart from Rome and came unto them.
Ain't that something? You see that? So you see, Yahdah Judah was in Rome. Israelites was in Rome, see. So when you jump down in the book of Romans, Paul was sent to Yagdad, he was sent to Northern Kingdom. But if he found Yagdad Judah over there, Zimbabwe, he jacked him up too a little bit. Now, Mother E, let's look at Romans chapter 1, verse 5 through 7, and skip down to 14 through 16. Let's see what that say there, Mother E. Come on.
Romans chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, 14 through 6. Romans chapter 1, verse 5. By whom we have received the covenant and adoption for the obedience to the faith, the covenant among all nations, for his name, verse 6. Among who are also called of Yahweh the Son, verse 7, to all that be in Rome, beloved of Yahweh, called to be saints, 12 tribes of Israel, grace to you.
How about 10 tribes? How about 10 tribes? Paul was sent to 10 tribes. How about that? How about 10 tribes?
Called to be saints, the 10 tribes, the northern kingdom of Israel. Grace to you and peace from Yahweh our Father and the Yahweh the Son.
Well, hold on, mother. I feel pretty good now. Come back and read verse 5 again. Read verse 5 again. And there's one thing about this Bible. When you got the spirit of anointing of Yahweh, he'll show you some things in this book. And all the way you're gonna know about this, you got to have the spirit of Yahweh on you. What does it say in verse 5 again? Romans 1:5.
Book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 5. By whom we have received the covenant and the doctrine for obedience to the covenant among all nations for his name.
He says in Romans 1:5, you mean that in Romans 1:5, that this message is to whom that have received the covenant, so among all nations. Now that's big talk right there. See, that's big talk. That gets the best of them all tied in. But who received the covenant? Hold that point right there. Mother E, let's run on to Romans again and find out in verse number 3 and 4. Romans 9:3 and 4. Who is he talking about? Romans chapter 9, to receive all this good stuff. Let's go to 9, verse 3 and 4. Let's see, can we take a look at this real good by going to Romans chapter 9, verse 3 and 4.
Book of Romans chapter 9, verse 3 and verse 4. But I could wish that myself were accused from Yahweh, a curse from Yahweh the Son, for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Verse 4, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the honor and the covenant and the giving of the Torah instruction and the service of Yahweh and the promise. Should I say,
so Paul is telling the Romans that you receive all these blessings from Yahweh. So who is Paul talking to in 1 verse 5 again, Mother E? Who is Paul talking to in 1 verse 5?
the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 5, by whom we have received the northern tribe, the covenant, and the adoption for obedience to the covenant among all nations for his name.
Mm-hmm. Now, he said another statement. See, that's a chop the best of them up. All nations. Oh, see there? That means everybody, each and every, all nations. But do that really mean all nations there? Mother D of Israel. Let's see, do that mean all nations by going and let's stop by the seer, Amos. Let's find out, do that mean all nations of all the nations of the world. See that, brother? You six anointed camps, they talking about all nations. Yeah. Is that what you bumping your gums on, all nations? And now the six anointed camps going to run on to Amos, chapter 9. And we're going to seeking that hole up, all nations. We're going to seeking that hole up by you win the bump the gum contest, the WCC. And then we'll go to the ninth chapter and see what's going to stand, will your word stand or not. We're going to see what the seal got to say about that all nations in Amos chapter 9, verse number 9. What he said that mother dear of Israel? Amos 9, verse 9 says what?
Amos chapter 9, verse 9. For lo, I will command and I will shift the families of Israel among all nations, like as corn is sifted in a sieve, yet shall not the least grain.
That's good. All we were going to get. Who was this all talking about? And we could have took care of that over there. Right here, when we read the what verse that Mother E read when it says about all nations in verse 5, we could drop that Amos verse 9 right in there and shook up everybody if we was in a Bible study class beside the six anointed camps. Couldn't we, Mother E? Couldn't we drop that right in there? Right there in verse number 5? All nations are who? According to 9:9, all nations of a family of who?
Yes, sir.
Huh? Pray, Mercy of Israel, bring it out. All nations of who?
Israel.
All nations of Israel. So you see, so the point we make is that the world got to get this message. Because when you jump down there and read all nations, scatter them to all nations. Yeah, all nations where Israel is at. Because we know how to go, Mother E, and look at the 11th chapter, and we can read what the prophecy of the seal says in Isaiah chapter 11. We ain't got no problem going to Isaiah chapter 11 and taking a look at what the book says. What it says in Isaiah chapter 11, and we look at verse number 12. What it says in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 12.
Isaiah chapter 11, verse 12. And he shall set up an ensign for the nation, the nation of Israel, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Yahweh Judah. Oh, I didn't read that right. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 12. and he shall set up an ensign for the nation, the southern kingdom, the northern kingdom, and shall assemble the outcast of Israel, the northern kingdom, and shall gather together the dispersed of Yahweh Judah from the four corners of the earth.
So you see, when you jump down there and holler all nations, but he's talking about all nations of who? Mother dear of Israel, and the 30th chapter, verse number 3 of Isaiah. You can just, you know, this Bible will flat out just, once you got the right spirit in you, you can go to the book of Jeremiah. I mean, you can really make them find something else to do besides read a Bible when you show up. Because you can run right over here to Jeremiah chapter 30. And you can look right down at verse number 2 and 4. And then and ask them what you're going to do with verse 2 and 4. Matter of fact, you might well read 31, 2, 3, 4. Matter of fact, read 31, 2, 3, 4. Do you know this book right here is the greatest piece of literature it is? Once you get the right spirit and start operating according to this Bible with your fringes on and stop being a stiff neck, doing what Yahweh tell you to do, you'd be surprised how much he's going to enlighten you. Now look what it got written over here in Jeremiah that speaks. That spoke from the mouth of Yahweh, he wrote something in 30 verse 1, 2, 3, 4, speaking from the mouth of Yahweh. And what did he say
Jeremiah.
In 1, 2, 3, 4? Yeah.
Jeremiah.
30 verse 1, and mother, hold on, and mother, have me 19 to verse number 22 waiting on me. Same book, 30, 19 to 22. And we're going to be quiet and drink a little herbal tea. And y'all on the clock, come on.
Jeremiah chapter 30, verses 1 to 4. Verse 1, the word that came to Jeremiah the seer from Yahweh, saying, verse 2, thus speak Yahweh, Yahweh of Israel, saying, write you all the words that I have spoken unto you in a book. Verse 3, for lo, the days come, says Yahweh, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Yahdah Judah, says Yahweh, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. Verse 4. And these are the words that Yahweh spoke concerning Israel and concerning Yahdah Judah.
Break that four down. Break that verse four down one more time for the national audience. Verse 4.
And these are the words that Yahweh spake concerning Israel, the 10 northern tribes, and concerning Yahdah Judah, the southern kingdom.
So you see how you're supposed to read that good book. And that's how you read the good book. So this what concerning northern and southern kingdom of Israel. Huh? See, this is what this book is about.
Mm-hmm.
And 19 down to verse 22 says what? See, now that's how you're supposed to really enjoy your Bible. You don't supposed to tell them about what you think, what you feel, or what my mind got that I don't find outside of the book. Why don't you find something inside of the book? Why don't you do that? Find something written inside of the book, not something written outside of the book. 19 down to verse 22.
Book of Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 19 to 22. Verse 19. And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry. And I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. verse 20, their children also shall be as aforetime, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all that oppress them. Verse 21, and their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governors shall proceed from the midst of them, and I will cause them to draw near, and he shall report unto me. For who is this that engage his mind to report unto me, said the Yahweh. Verse 22, as you shall be my people, and I will be your Yahweh.
Oh, you mean all that's written in this book? I wonder why that's never discussed. But he said, they are the nobles. He said, I'm going to raise them up as a aforetime. That means once upon a time ago, he's saying you are people that was, you know, really into something once upon a time ago. He said, I'm going to raise you back as a aforetime, the nobles. Yeah, very important. Who is the nobles that he going to raise back a aforetime that we can read? Give me two lines, Mother Lee. In Nehemiah 13, verse 17. Who are these nobles that he got them? We're going to Nehemiah 13, verse 17. Give me two lines. Now, he said he's going to raise up some nobles that was aforetime, but we don't know who the nobles is unless we can read them. To find who these nobles is he's going to raise up in Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 2 lines, and 2 lines in verse 17. Who are these nobles
you
talking about, that Mother
Eve? The book of Nehemiah, chapter 13, verse 17. Nehemiah, chapter 13, verse 17. Then I continued with the nobles of Yahdai Judah, the southern king, and said unto them.
Excellent. That's it. 2 lines. All we going to give, but who is the nobles? Who is the nobles that he got to put back in a rightful position aforetime? What is their name, Mother E, according to verse 17? Who is the nobles that he got to put back in place as a aforetime? What is their name according to Nehemiah 13, verse 17? 2 lines. What's their name?
The nobles of Yahdai Judah, the southern kingdom.
Excellent. So ain't nothing happening until the nobles of the southern kingdom get back in their place. Ain't nothing happening. If anybody get before Yahdai Judah, the southern kingdom, you're out of order. You're not going to be put in place until the nobles of Yahdai Judah is back in a lead role as a aforetime. Now, what about the other 10 northern tribes? What they got to do? We got to go back to Jeremiah, Mother D of Israel, and find out what they got to do to get back as a aforetime. What can we read that they got to do? Let's go to Jeremiah 31 and pick up at 4, 5, and 6. Find out what the Bible tells us the 10 northern tribes got to get back in their position as a aforetime. Let's see what got to happen in 31, verse 4 through 6 of Jeremiah. What got to happen there, Mother D, of Israel?
Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 4 to 6, verse 4. Again, I will build you, and thou shalt be built, O Virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with your teach, and shall go forth and dance.
Yeah, but hold that part right there. Hold that part for a minute. What is really talking about there, motherfucker, for this national order? What is really talking about?
The 10 northern
what
tribes.
What Israel we talking about? One, huh?
10 northern tribes.
Excellent. Bring it out, mother D up Israel. 31. You're talking about northern kings. So he's saying, I'm going to put you back where you once belonged. And what did he tell him he going to do for the northern kingdom in verse 5?
Verse 5, I got sidetracked. Okay, Jeremiah 31, verse 5. Thou shalt yet plant vines upon the mountain of Samaria, and planters shall plant and shall eat them as common things. Verse 6. For there shall be a day, there shall be a day that the watchmen upon Mount Ephraim shall cry, arise you, and let us go up to Yahweh Judah, the southern kingdom, unto Yahweh, our Yahweh.
So what the northern kingdom have to do? So how would the 10 northern tribes get back to once, the way they once was? What they got to do? And verse 6.
They
got to
cry.
What? Verse 6. What they got to do?
They got to cry.
They got to cry.
Oh, cry. Arise you and let us go up to Yahweh Judah, the southern kingdom, unto Yahweh, our Yahweh.
Oh. Northern kingdom ain't going nowhere of Israel until they do what? Cry to who?
Yahweh, okay. Judah, southern kingdom.
Let's get down to verse 23 and 24, close the statement. Give me verse 23 and 24 and close the statement. For D of Israel, give me verse 23 and close the statement.
Jeremiah 31, 23 and 24. 23.
Yes, ma'am.
Thus says Yahweh of hosts, Yahweh of Israel, as yet they shall use this speech in the land of Yahweh Judah, the southern kingdom, and in the city thereof, when I shall bring again their captivity. Yahweh bless you, O inhabitants of just and mountain of righteousness. Verse 24. And there shall dwell in Yahweh Judah, southern kingdom itself, and in all the cities thereof together, husbandmen, and they that go forth with flock.
So now we can read how it's going to happen. So we can read it on tape 49. See if Israel, what's your closing statement to catch your wind tonight? What you got to say to close out on?
Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 25. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these Torah instructions before Yahweh, our Yahweh, as he has commanded us. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
That's Mother D.F. Israel. C. Roya gave her clothes. Now, Mother E., what it says in Malachi chapter 3, verse number 7, 10 through 12, in the closing statement. What it says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 7, 10 through 12, in the closing statement. Let's see what it says, Mother E.
Okay. Malachi chapter 3, verse 7 and 10 to 12.
Yes, ma'am, in a closing statement.
Malachi chapter 3, verse 7 and 10 to 12. Verse 7. Even from the day of your father, you are gone away from my ordinance and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, said the Yahweh host. But you said, wherein shall we return? Verse 10, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and through me. Now, that's your will, said the Yahweh of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Verse 11, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, said the Yahweh host. Verse 12, all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, said the Yahweh of hosts.
But that's what he said. He, you believe him, close the book and walk. Mother E, Mother Z, Mother E, close the statement. What you got for your closing statement for tape number 49? You on the clock, come on.
I'm going to read Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 27. Verse 27. Behold, the day comes, said Yahweh, that I will sow the famine of Israel and the famine of. Behold, the day comes, said Yahweh, that I will sow the famine of Israel, the 10 northern tribes, and the famine of Yahweh Judah with the seed of man and with the seed of beast. 28. And it shall come to pass that like as I have watched over them, to pluck up and to break down and to throw down and to destroy and to afflict, so will I watch over them to build up and to plant, said the Yahweh. In those days they shall say, no more the father hath eaten the sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge. But everyone shall die for his own sin, every man that eateth the sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Me and Yahweh are going to do something big for us. But he's going to take the six anointed camps. Bang. Get on the front line. High nine the curtain. Move up, says Yahweh, and put them fringes on. And let's get on about the business, and thus says Yahweh. Let's do it. People, what time happened? We catch you all Wednesday night. Let's do Yahweh's business. Kind of way.
Your